A little bit.
A pad. Oh, my goodness.
He reached way back.
6 seconds to go. Giselle pulls up. Missed it short. Bolo is there. It's Krishan Christmas.
Merry Christmas, man.
So I started recording a podcast earlier today during my lunch hour, and apparently I didn't take myself off mute. So I recorded almost 40 minutes of podcast material surrounding the Western Athletic Conference, men's and women's basketball. And I was on mute the whole time. Didn't realize that till I had gotten to the end of it. So here we are. Late on a Friday afternoon, about an hour away from when I take my kiddo to Disney on Ice tonight at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm getting razzed for a tweet I put out a little earlier today, even though it's spewed with facts. It's been a great day. And it started with a fun end to a crazy night in the WAC. Again, another buzzer beater. Well, I shouldn't say buzzer beater because he hit it with 2.1 seconds left. So overtime thriller, epic finish, whatever you want to call it. So here we are. I have, like I said, moved my camera back a little bit so you can see my banners. You can't see all of them. I do have CBU and CA at, who is that? Southern Utah up here. And there's a Tarleton one up there now. Alan Easterling, I know you gave me some hard time about having Tarleton up there. You can't really see it right now. But it's there, and I have my Seattle U one to complete the collection coming later today. So with that being said, we are 2 weeks away from the WAC semifinals, where four teams have already clinched their trip to those semifinals. GCU has clinched the one seed. Tarleton is the two seed on the men's side. CBU and GCU are the top two seeds on the women's side. But that race is yet to be determined. Who will be the one and two seeds on the women's side? With that being said, let's bring in Daryl Trujillo. He is in Riverside right now. My cohort and all this. Who's going to be the one seed on the women's side, Daryl? Who is it going to be? Let's hear it. And I want to make clear, can you hear me? Because I hope I'm not on mute right now.
Yes, I can hear you. That you didn't make the same mistake twice.
Yes, very good.
I think the CBU team finally gets it done and gets a win in Phoenix.
Wow. I think they're going out on a limb there. GCU fans are going to hate you because they're going to see you have a lot of GCU hate.
No, I think the best chance was you give Jared Olson a second crack at a defense, they're going to do better than 71 points. I mean, I think
Chloe Lemon's back next week too.
Yeah. And that's the other question we don't know the answer to. But I think you give the Lancers a second shot at GCU's defense, they're going to do better than 71 points.
Yeah.
It is tough. Phoenix is a tough place to play, and that's the argument a lot of folks have about the COVID year title was that the Lancers did not have to come to Phoenix and face the Havocs. But I think this CBU team has figured... It looks like they got over the overtime hump yesterday, 0-2 previously in overtime this year, before last night. CBU and GCU play, a lot of it depends on tempo. I think CBU figures out a way to win in Phoenix for the first time in the Division I era.
And we'll be real here. SFA fans have a right to be angry. I know they're probably still pointing their fingers at the officials from that game yesterday. CBU got away twice with a timeout. One of them led to Chloe Webb's go-ahead bucket late in the fourth quarter, where CBU didn't have possession of the ball, and yet they were granted a timeout. That was one. And then there was one in overtime that happened too. So I know SFA fans are really upset about it. I get it. Like, those are bad calls all around. They shouldn't – it should have been a jump ball at the very least. The first one late in the fourth quarter, that would have given SFA the ball back, which they would have been able to go hit free throws potentially to make it a three-point game instead of a one-point game. But on the flip side of it, you have a five-point lead late. You got to finish that.
Absolutely.
Kirsten Harden had two missed free throws. She went for two. She made the first one, missed the second one, but there was a lane violation, so she got another one that she could have possibly made. And then they got the offensive rebound off that miss, and they turned it over on a steal. So, yeah, two things can be factual. We'll say that, Daryl. I know some people think that. But on the flip side, calls, they impact the game. I don't think they determine an outcome of a game. Because yes. SFA was also gifted. I shouldn't say gifted. They were gifted a really bad basketball IQ play when Kirsten Harden was fouled on a three-point attempt when she was 25 feet away from the basket.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Harden made the free throws to force the overtime. But I want to say this about that crew last night. That crew actually was doing fairly well until the last 90 seconds of the game and that sequence.
Yep.
That was as good an officiated game as you're going to get in the WAC until for 38 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yep. I mean, full game all around, though. I mean, and we said it to Leonard Bishop. We said first one to 100. I shouldn't say we said it. I literally asked him, is it first one to 100 that wins? And he was kind of skeptical about it, but like I knew there was going to be a lot of points in this ballgame.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the first time those two played, what did they put up? About 175 or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was like 172, I think it was. But
yeah. Albeit for SFA, most of those points in the fourth quarter were when the game was out of reach.
Right.
This time they just kept themselves in it a little bit longer. Yeah. That's the fourth straight win. It's the fourth straight win for the Lancers in the series, dating back to Nagadoches last year.
And all he does is win. Jared Olson, man. DJ Khalid.
And it effectively eliminates the Lady Jacks from regular season title contention. I just don't see it coming back to five losses.
Technically, they're still in it. They need. I mean.
CBU has UTRGV, yeah. UTA, and GCU to finish.
GCU just has two. CBU has three games left. GCU has two left. So, yes, it does effectively remove SFA from regular season title contention because they can't catch GCU in that regard because GCU only has two games left. So SFA is out of it, other regular season title contention. They're still playing for top three seed. I believe they
should have
got a significant lead there. We're going to look at it real quick just to be sure on the women's side. It was updated today with UT Arlington and Utah Tech losing. Yes, it's significant that they probably will be the three seed at the WAC tournament. It's interesting that UT Arlington and Utah Tech are 1/10 of a point apart from each other right now in the resume seeding system. UT Arlington's at -1.81, Utah Tech's at -1.82. I think that's going to change tomorrow just a bit, just because I think UT Arlington is going to go into, or they host Utah Valley tomorrow. Utah Tech is at Abilene Christian. That game, I think Abilene Christian may get J.D. Gustin's team. I just the way that it looked from Thursday, I think that the Julie Goodness Wildcats could get J.D. Gustin's Trailblazers.
Yeah, it was definitely not their best night in Stephenville. That being said, they only lost by 16.
By 16.
But Tarleton played. That was Tarleton's best win of the year under Bill Brock this year so far. Yeah. And that definitely throws a monkey wrench into that race for the eight.
Well, I was talking about it before I figured out I was muted and had to re-record this whole podcast episode. Tarleton, 5-12. Southern Utah, 5-12. UTRGV, 5-12. Seattle U, 5-13. They have two home games left. Utah Valley, 4-13. And here's the kicker with every single one of those. Between Utah Valley and UTRGV, they're all within like a point and a half of each other in the resume seeding system. So Seattle U is the one that's way down there. So if they end up in a tie, that may especially with the team that maybe they split with this year, that could cause a problem. But this race for that 7 and 8 spot for WAC Vegas on the women's side is going to be fantastic, because here's the other thing. Southern Utah plays Tarleton tomorrow. Seattle U has, who do they have? ACU and Tarleton next week at home. Utah Valley has UT Arlington, and then they have Tarleton and ACU next week at home. UTRGV is at, I want to say, CBU and GCU to end the regular season, and they host, no, not GCU and CBU. They're at, they host CBU Saturday, and then they go to Utah Tech and Southern Utah. So this is all going to play itself out with these teams playing each other next week and tomorrow. So that's pretty cool to see that it's going to play out. I'm going to make a decision, right? So that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if Tarleton and Seattle miss, you've got the tournament, you've gotten yourselves a bunch of momentum going into the offseason.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see what Skylar Young's team is doing right now. I mean, they've won 2 straight road games. Pretty impressive win. I think it was almost a wire-to-wire win against
UC
Arlington yesterday. So
I watched that game from cover to cover last night before I went to bed. They actually looked Seattle looked really solid at the College Park Center.
Yeah. So big time win there. Tarleton, like we said, big time win for Bill Brock's crew. Both coaches are in their first year and still trying to figure things out. But, you know, if they can win a couple games, I mean, if Seattle U wins out and Tarleton wins out, I mean, we could see those two in and maybe a Southern Utah, UTRGV, and Utah Valley not in. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens here over these next 3 games for some, 2 games for others. I'm very interested to see how it plays out. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to play a video that I saw today, very emotional video, but we'll be right back.
WAC Vegas is back. The best fans, championship basketball, all in exciting Las Vegas. Join us March 13th through the 16th at the Orleans Arena for the 2024 Hercules Tires WAC Basketball Tournament. Don't miss the crowning of a men's and women's champion. For more information, go to WACSports.com/WACVegas.
Two weeks from today, we will be at the Orleans Arena watching WAC semifinals take place. We already know 4 teams that'll be there, both the GCU squads, GCU men and women, and then Tarleton men and CBU women. We know those 4 will be in the WAC semifinals. Who will be playing them will be decided Wednesday and Thursday at WAC Vegas, 2 weeks away. Goodness gracious, it's crazy that it is March 1st, 2024. With that being said, somebody played their last home game in his hometown last night. And it wasn't pretty by any stretch of the means. It got out of hand early when Alex Schumacher was ejected due to a flagrant 2 foul call on him with about 15 minutes left in the first half. And when he walked off the floor in the final minute and a half, there was a lot of emotion because the night didn't go the way he wanted. But for somebody who's put his stamp on Seattle U Redhawks basketball, this comes from the Seattle U men's basketball Twitter account. I saw this today, and I want to play this for everybody that's listening in or viewing this.
Cam's growth as a player has been remarkable. What you've accomplished here in your 3 years in Seattle has been incredible.
You've elevated this program and you've really contributed to the success that this program has had.
You mean everything to the team. You're a leader on so many levels, on and off the court. You've taught me so much, man. And again, I look up to you.
Bucky getter.
Winner.
Leader.
From high school, from when I met you and through your journey through college, it's been so awesome to just watch you grow as a basketball player.
The teammate you've been, the relentless worker that you've been for the last 3 years, has elevated this program to a new level. you can be very proud of where you're leaving.
It was an honor watching what you did to this program, and you came in, you changed the culture.
Cam's leadership the past few years has been really inspiring to watch.
He's just really fun to be around in the locker room, on the road, down in the offices, and obviously on the court.
I mean, we went from getting kicked out of a couple practices a year to you being the guy that's keeping everybody calm, holding our team together. When we went down big at Grand Canyon, you were the one telling everybody that we need to, you know, get together and we can do this. And you're that positive energy to go from where you were at your first year when you first got here to that has been amazing to see.
You know, I'm just going to miss, you know, another brother that's leaving us. But, you know, I think that's just a brotherhood we'll have for a lifetime.
You have a lot of great basketball. You have a long, long, great life ahead of you. And I'm just looking forward to being a part of all of that. So I'm really proud of you. And let's finish this journey on a high note. Love you, man.
Man, that's the second time, maybe the third time I've watched that today, Daryl. And every time it gets me a little emotional. I mean, I'm not a Seattle U guy, but covering the Redhawks is part of covering this league and watching the journey that they've taken since Cam Tyson got there. You know, that was the year that they had the Jim Hayford situation and Chris Victor had to take over as interim head coach. And then they go on to win 23 games and a share of the WAC regular season title. And then they win 20 games last year. And then they're on pace to possibly win 20 games again this year. He had 32 points in his finale at the Red Hawk Center. You know, he's a Seattle guy. He's from Bothell, right around the Seattle area. And man, I mean, he averaged 18 and a half last year. He's averaging 18 this year. He averaged 14 in his first year. And all I think about is, you know, people don't realize some of the great players that have come out of Seattle. I don't want to say great players, like the loyal players that have come out of Seattle U over the last couple of years. I mean, there was Darian Trammell. There was Riley Grigsby. There's Morgan Means, who's still there. Riley Grigsby's still there as like a grad assistant type deal. Like, and now you have Cam Tyson, whose brother's an assistant. You know, they both are there trying to do big things for this program, taking it to new heights, and they have. I just, like, it's emotional. And you know, it's that time of year when you get to see some of the best playing their final games. And so, you know, they'll go on to bigger and better things. But, like, you've covered them for so long, it's hard to not get emotional about it.
Yeah. This is the time of the year for all of us who are, you know, for the players especially, but for those of us who cover them, that, you know, we follow these players since they got to, you know, their spots. And, you know, what I love about Seattle is they've kept the hometown kids home. When Jimmy Dykes was hired at Arkansas, as the women's coach, one of the things I remember about his press conference was saying, "We will build a wall around the state of Arkansas and keep our best talent home." Now, he may not have succeeded in that regard. He only lasted 2 years, but where Dykes failed, Chris Victor has succeeded.
Yeah.
And Jim Hayford before him.
Yeah. And, you know, and they've got John Christofalos to come back. You know, like, it's just, yeah. Cam Tyson, one of the best people, best players, you know. And like he said, you know, he's a bucket. He's a leader, a bucket getter, a leader, a scorer, whatever you want to call him. You know, one of the best. So that's a huge, that video is going to, yeah, it had a significant impact on me. So, you know, that's, like I said, I'm not even a Seattle U guy, but seeing something like that over someone that you've written about, that you've talked to his brother, that you've talked to his coach, that you've watched play, you know, hopefully you're able to rebound from last night, and you know, they got a week off. They don't play Saturday, so they have a week off before they go on the road to finish out the season at Tarleton and at Abilene Christian. And hopefully they can make some noise in WAC. They have the players to do it. It's just a matter of putting it together for 2-3 games, right? So that's a win three, I'm sure, because I think they're going to finish as a top 3-4 seed. So we'll see. But yeah. Anyways, sorry, guys. I don't mean to get off on that tangent. That's just one of those emotional things.
Let's get into this men's race for the 8, too. The men's race for the 8 had some pretty good twists and turns last night, too.
Yeah, so the best part about this is I get to re-record this podcast episode where I made a fool of myself on the one I recorded earlier by saying that if CBU, Utah Tech, and SFA all tie, well, then Utah Tech and SFA are out. Well, that's not the case. Not even close, okay? If CBU, Utah Tech, and SFA all tie at, let's say, 8-12, or what is it? Yeah, 8-12 or 9-11. Let's say 9-11. Okay. Well, it would be 8 because I don't think Utah Tech has to win tomorrow for that to happen. But anyways, let's just say that SFA doesn't win out. Utah Tech beats SFA on March 9th in the regular season. CBU wins one more, right? They have UTRGV on Saturday. So they win one more, then they lose their final two games. They have to go to UT Arlington and host Grand Canyon. So that's not easy. If that happens, Utah Tech will be in by way of the swept CBU, and they would have swept SFA. So they win that tiebreaker easily, okay? SFA would be in because they swept CBU. No, they didn't split. They didn't sweep CBU.
Split.
They split. But CBU would be out because CBU has the worst record against the other two. That's how that would play out.
And that's a tough. That would be it wouldn't come down
to resume seeding. It would come down to head-to-head record combined. So CBU would automatically be eliminated because it has the worst record. And then Utah Tech would be in over SFA. SFA would still be in because it had the second best record in that it had two wins in that series. So,
and for the Lancers, that would be a tough way to end a season that started out with so much promise. They were, what, third before Dominique Daniels
Jr. Wait a second. Let's go back to that for a second here. Let's play this out here. So Utah Tech would be in because they would have swept CBU and SFA. Then SFA and CBU would be split.
So it would come down to the resume seeding system.
It would come down to the resume seeding system. Ooh, let's take a look at that. Gal, guys, I'm getting way ahead of me just trying to determine this field, be the first one to. Got to stop trying to be a Rothstein or a Goodman. And just let it play out. Like, it's fun to talk about, but let it play out. So right now, SFA has a 2.14 lead over CBU. The good news is CBU goes on the road a couple times. So they have a chance to, well, they go on the road once, I should say, over the next two. 2.1. This is so hard.
GCU has a high point total. UT Arlington will have a high point value.
Yeah, I mean, it's if we're looking at it here, CBU doesn't want it to come down to a three-way tie, I don't think. SFA doesn't either.
Well, okay, so looking at the WAC points, UT Arlington and Grand Canyon combined are 1.27.
Okay.
They would only get 0.12 for beating UTRGV Saturday.
So, I mean, they need Stephen F. Austin to lose out, basically. Yeah, because SFA, if they were to lose out, SFA would lose 0.16 points. Let's see, 0.16. points. Is that 0.82? So that's 0.98. And then 0.87. So that's what? 1.86 points?
Yeah.
And what do we say CBU would get?
1.27, 1.34, 1.39.
What is that? 1.39.
You're still 0.4 something short.
Yeah. So there's a good chance if CBU loses out, Utah Tech wins out. Well, obviously, in that case, CBU is going to, or Utah Tech's going to WAC Vegas. But in a tie, there's a good chance that in a three-way tie, there's a good chance that CBU is not going to WAC Vegas. So, got to win some games. Got to get to 8 tonight or tomorrow against UTRGV. Become big Abilene Christian fans, hoping that the Wildcats can pull off the win at Utah Tech to clinch their spot. And then, you know, hope that either who is that? Either SFA or UTRGV picks off Utah Tech in one of those games next week. So, yeah, very interesting to see what's going to play out here. Very interesting to see what's going to play out. So, Seattle U, UT Arlington still battling for that 3-4 spot. Utah Valley right there, kind of. So, big game on Saturday in Orem when Utah Valley hosts UT Arlington. After UT Arlington throttled Seattle U by 20 last night. I mean, it was up, it was like 31 points at one point. So, a lot of basketball to be played here down the stretch. We're going to take 30 seconds real quick, be right back. Then we're going to close out the show just kind of talking about what we think about Saturday and some games to watch.
WAC Vegas is back. The best fans, championship basketball, all in exciting Las Vegas. Join us March 13th through the 16th at the Orleans Arena for the 2024 Hercules Tires WAC Basketball Tournament. Don't miss the crowning of a men's and women's champion. For more information, go to WACSports.com/WACVegas.
All right, guys. Like I said, 2 weeks away from the WAC semifinals on Friday. Less than 2 weeks away from the first round tipping off on Wednesday, March 13th. Very excited about that. It's going to be down there. Me, I'm going down on the 12th, going to watch the WCC title game. And yeah, big time excited to go to WAC Vegas. So a week away from that happening. Daryl, I'm gonna put on my radar a couple of games to watch. Well, you go first on the women's side. I'm gonna put a couple on my radar on the men's side after you put yours up on the women's side.
Obviously, the biggest game of the day is the rematch between GCU and SFA. Even though the Lady Jacks lost their chance to stay in the race for the regular season title, they can still play spoiler to GCU and knock the Lopes a game behind the Lancers going into next week, provided the Lancers take care of business at UTRGV and the Lady Jacks defend the Sawmill.
Yeah, how sour of a taste of being... Here's the question. If you're Jared Olson, do you want the Lady Jacks to win or do you want GCU to win just so they're not that much more motivated in that regular season, to have a week to stew on it, to get that much more motivated to play in that March 9th regular season finale?
I don't know. I think once you get through Saturday, you've got your own problems if you're CBU trying to get ready for UT Arlington, who you barely nipped at the College Park Center on a Chloe Webb, shot at the buzzer.
Yeah. I mean, but they're playing at home, and we know what they do at you know, the Fowler Event Center, so... I don't know. I think you'd want GC to win that game just so it kind of sets the stage for outright champion, period, right? Like, that's what you want. You don't want to share it. You don't want anything like that. You want it to be for the outright regular season title.
And yeah, that's, and then the other game I have my eye on is that Southern Utah Tarleton game in that race for the 8.
Yep. Yep. Because a win could put Tarleton in WAC Vegas, at least for now, and could set Southern Utah back a little bit. So 100%. I like that pick. I really do. Yeah, those are two big games. Abilene Christian, Utah Tech, too. Julie Goodenough's team, possibility to clinch their spot at WAC Vegas tomorrow with a win, maybe with some other things happening. But, yeah, their chance to clinch. So big things happen in Abilene. So let's I'm going to take it to the men real quick as we finish out this episode of the Straight Outta WAC podcast. Let's see. Who do I want to look at? UT Arlington at Utah Valley. I'll be there Saturday afternoon. It's the only afternoon game tomorrow on the men's side, Daryl. Every other game starts after 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So another late night around the WAC. But yeah, that UT Arlington and Utah Valley game, simply because UT Arlington is trying to move up to possibly be the 3 seed and have to avoid and be able to avoid GCU in the WAC semis. They would get Tarleton, who they lost twice to, though. So it's apples to apples with who they would play at WAC Vegas if they're a top 4 seed. I think that Abilene Christian at Utah Tech game is also very interesting. Here's why. Because if Abilene Christian wins, they clinch their spot at WAC Vegas, right? And create some, you know, if CBU can beat UTRGV, it helps CBU. It also helps SFA as well. If Utah Tech wins that game, then there's going to be some interesting scenarios over the final 2 games of the regular season for those teams vying for that 7th and 8th spot. So keep an eye on UT Arlington at Utah Valley, Abilene Christian at Utah Tech. And I say keep an eye on UT Arlington and Utah Valley. Well, KT Turner's team has won 4 in a row. Todd Phillips' team has won 5 in a row. And the game at UT Arlington back on November or January 11th, the Mavs ran to a 14-point win. So, should be a good, fun, busy Saturday. We are going to do a late Straight Out of WAC after hours. We're going to do it this time on a Saturday night, Daryl. Once that GCU-SFA game, if it's out of hand late in the second half, we're going to start a little bit early to watch the end of it, whatever. It is on ESPNU, but we will see what time that game kind of gets close to the end, what the score is, and so forth. Everybody, Daryl, any last words as we shut down this Friday Straight Out of WAC episode?
No, it's just, I mean, seems like we just started the regular season. And now we're 2 weeks away from WAC Vegas, or a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's gone quick.
100%.
It's gone quick. We've enjoyed it. We hope you've enjoyed keeping up with us. And let's finish out the year strong in Vegas.
Yeah. 100%. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Hit the subscribe, like button. We'll see you on the Straight Outta WAC After Hours tomorrow night after the GCU-SFA ball game that is on ESPNU. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, so it's a late one. So hopefully you'll stay up with us so we can talk some WAC hoops. I know a lot of SFA fans might have some things to say. We'll see. I know there's a lot of GCU fans that think I hate them. I don't hate you, and I'm not trying to discredit GCU at all. I know some people think that. I was just spewing some facts today of some thoughts about a player who is out for the rest of the season, most likely out for the rest of the season, who is one of the best in the league, who didn't get talked about because, well, he just didn't get talked about. And he deserves some recognition. He's still leading the WAC in scoring, even though he's hurt. So, anyways, everybody, not to discredit, like I said, GCU, there's no hate here. There's all love for every team in the WAC. And hoping everybody's team does well tomorrow. And we'll see you on Straight Outta WAC After Hours tomorrow night after the game.
Thanks for listening to the Straight Outta WAC podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcasting platforms. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Remember to follow WAC Hoops Nation on all your favorite social media platforms.